Welcome, Dumbheads, to the 2017 Mega Dumbcast New Year's Countdown. This year on Mega Dumbcast, I discussed the dumbest thing on every goddamn page of Palladium's Ninjas and Super Spies RPG. To cap off my misery and yours, I'm turning to The Rifter, Palladium's magazine slash supplement series for fan-submitted works. I'll drop an episode about one Ninjas and Super Spies article every day through the new year. Now let's continue the countdown with number 7. Today we are once again discussing The Rifter number 43 from July 2008. Last time we talked about the cover character, Crimson Waters, aka Crimson J. Waters, aka Butt Lady. Today we're on to page 38 to discuss another pair of Ninjas and Super Spies characters, Shujumi and Hezekiah. Today we're going to start with the illustration of these two. So first let me tell you what's going on here. I can't set the scene for you, unfortunately, as I've been wont to do in the previous illustrations, because there's no background here. It's one of those sort of generic action shots with white background that you sometimes see on shitty comic book covers, or, hey, shitty role-playing game covers. First off, we got Shujumi toward the bottom of the page. If you guessed that she is a beautiful but deadly, tiny Asian woman with a bladed weapon, wearing an approximation of traditional Japanese dress, you're correct. And I'm sorry to report that you're a racist. Above her on the page, in this admittedly well-composed panel, is Hezekiah. Hezekiah has a gun in one hand. She's shooting some kind of beam out of the other hand. One of her arms is cybernetic. She's also got some kind of eye apparatus going on, some kind of a built-in headset type of thing. She's all sort of strappy, like a 90s X-Men character. She's got little pouches and stuff all over. And speaking of the 90s X-Men, she's wearing a very similar design of a jumpsuit. She's got sort of a rogue look going on. A lot of boob sock happening here. There's a definite odd skin tightness to the jumpsuit, accentuated, in fact, by her belly button. I don't know how tight you have to wear a jumpsuit for it to, like, suck into your navel like this. I feel that it would be hard to get this kind of fit on a woman's body with a literal vacuum sealer. But there it is, plain as day. It's canonical that Hezekiah has an innie, not an outie. Everybody go update the wiki. You may have noticed that neither of these characters is in a bikini or, in fact, a swimsuit of any kind. These are just female characters, which I guess, for Palladium purposes, is sexualized enough to qualify for the swimsuit issue. So I guess the dumbest thing in this article is a technical violation. It's the swimsuit issue. These two are not in anything like a swimsuit. I mean, one of them is wearing a trench coat. So anyway, with the illustration out of the way, let's get into who these characters are. It's a real odd couple story. Basically, Shujumi, her full name is Noriko Shujumi. She was born into a ninja clan. She comes from a long line of ninjas. She had a really harsh upbringing to train her in martial arts starting at age 12. She'd already killed a dozen men by the time she was 14. And in her job, her role in the ninja clan was to help the Yakuza hold on to its black market holdings in Asia and the Middle East. Shijumi's alignment is aberrant. She is 5'4" and weighs 105 pounds, physical beauty of 19. She's very serious about her job, and she's highly dedicated to her family. If any of this sounds familiar to you, or in fact, if all of this sounds familiar to you, it may be because last episode, we talked about another aberrant alignment Japanese female martial artist who comes from an extremely long line of similar martial artists who began training in her early teens to become a killer, killed multiple people, graduated into a role of responsibility in her family, is very serious about her job, is very beautiful, is 7th level instead of 8th level, so there's a difference. And oh, and she was 100 pounds rather than 105 pounds. Never mind. I was mistaken there for a minute, but obviously these are two extremely distinct characters you could use in totally different capacities in your campaign, depending on whether your personal fetish is Asian women who are 5 feet tall or Asian women who are 5'4". So that's Shujumi. Okay, on to Hezekiah. Rebecca was a soldier in the Israeli Defense Force. She retired as a lieutenant, went into special forces over there. They gave her all kinds of special training. Ultimately, she went on this mission to southern Lebanon to stop a group of terrorist bomb makers who are getting their supplies from the black market. The house turned out to be a trap, so they ended up destroying what basically was a safe house for this cell of terrorists, but it was booby-trapped. The bomb goes off. Rebecca loses her whole team, some of her limbs. The Israeli government replaces her lost limbs with cybernetics and basically puts her in this consultant role, where she no longer has to take orders from them, but she can take the missions that she wants, which is definitely the arrangement that you want with someone you've just outfitted with an onboard particle beam cannon, right? She's got one of those in her arm, by the way. They decided, you know, she lost her arm because of us. That's our bad. Let's go ahead and put a particle beam cannon in there as a parting gift. And then we'll just sort of employ her in an open office situation where she can come in when she wants, work from home when she wants, just kind of use that particle beam wherever she wants to around the world in pursuit of her own goals, and we'll just kind of sign off on it. It's like how when you hit retirement age in the Green Berets, they give you your own rocket launcher that you can use wherever you want within the contiguous United States, and a gold watch, and just send you on your way. So that's Rebecca. She's unprincipled, right? One of the selfish alignments. She's a ninth level operative agent. She therefore has all kinds of skills. She's charming, but often holds people at arm's length. She's quite serious, seems to be really happy only in combat, and her only real intimate relationship is to Shijumi, who is the only person who knows the story of how she lost her arms. The other thing I want to point out about Hezekiah is that she is breaking the rules hardcore. Operatives aren't supposed to have any super spine modifications. Now, granted, her arms were blown off, so I guess it's not really a class feature. You know, these are prosthetics to deal with a injury that she suffered in combat. However, she also gets bionic arms, not cybernetic arms. For those of you who may not recall, cybernetics are the shitty arms and legs and feet. Bionics are the good ones that you don't get from ninjas and super spies. You get them from Heroes Unlimited. And only some characters, like only even some cybernetic characters, can get bionics in a campaign that includes Heroes Unlimited. So Hezekiah is not only drawing outside the lines of her class, but outside the lines of the whole game. She's on some Heroes Unlimited bullshit now. She's got a particle beam that does 66 plus 6 damage. Plus, she has what is described as a, quote, nanomesh suit. I guess this is in reference to the jumpsuit, or the unitard, which, quote, slightly heightens her jumping and reflexes. So she's got a sexy skin-tight onesie that, because of the fineness of its mesh, allows her to jump higher. Needless to say, her stats are also crazy. IQ 20, ME 14, MA 21, Physical Strength 21, Physical Prowess 25, Physical Endurance 17, Physical Beauty 21, Speed 17. So Hezekiah's player is getting away with some shit. I want to note also that naming your Jewish character Rebecca Hezekiah is incredibly lazy and stupid. Probably the author came up with this by just remembering books from the Old Testament and picking the name that sounded coolest. As far as I know, Hezekiah is almost unprecedented as a surname, and it's not spelled like this. It is a very lazy and inaccurate pull for Jewish name. It's like having a Greek secret agent whose name is Homer Aristotle. So I know you're dying to find out, how did Shijumi and Hezekiah end up getting together and forming a team? Well, they've both got enemies on the black market. Shijumi fights him to protect the Yakuza. They blew off Hezekiah's arms. So once upon a time, they both ended up in Pakistan trying to assassinate this black market guy who was in charge of some kind of gunrunner's bazaar. Both of them tried to get the job done by themselves, couldn't do it, so they grudgingly decided to work together. They both kind of planned to betray each other, but they worked so well together they decided to form a permanent team to destroy black market operations. It says here, quote, they primarily hire out their services to any nation, government, or entity that has a need for the removal of such organizations, meaning black market organizations, and that they have been around the world fighting everything from drug smugglers and slave traders to African pirates and terrorists. It's a really copacetic situation. Fortunately, both ninjas and Israeli intelligence, known for being cool, laid-back bosses, you want to do a little bit of moonlighting, you want to drive for Uber, you want to continue working for us while hiring your services as assassins and intelligence agents to competing agencies, by all means, go for it. While you're on the ninja clock, 9 to 5, you protect our criminal black market operations from our rivals. Then after 5, you know, if you want to go work for our rivals or, you know, be a narc, then that's your business. Possibly Israeli defense wishes they had locked down that particle beam cannon before paying for it out of their own defense budget, only to have Hezekiah go rent it out like a karaoke machine on weekends to all the fun-loving intelligence agencies of the world. But you know what? The violent friendship these two have is so beautiful and so pure. I'm sure that their respective espionage agencies just can't stand to break it up. There's a lot of dumb stuff going on in this little partnership, and after wading through all the useless cybernetics and ninjas and super spies, I somewhat resent that Hezekiah gets a particle beam arm because the ninjas and super spies options weren't cool enough for Palladium's own characters. But I am legalistic and petty at heart, and so I have to identify the dumbest thing is the fact that this is the swimsuit issue, and I have not seen swimsuit 1 in this article. So that does it for these two, but we are still not done with the Rifter number 43. Join me next time for the final Ninjas and Super Spies Bikini Lady in this issue on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. Did you know that this New Year's Countdown is also a shameless fundraiser for MDC Season 2? It is. A second season about Heroes Unlimited is in the works, and if every regular MDC listener made a one-time donation of $3, its hosting costs would be paid for. If you accept this mission, go click my coffee button at ko-fi.com/megadumb. That's ko-fi.com/megadumb. The future of heroism itself depends upon your podcast patron dollars. No pressure. This has been part of MDC's 2017 New Year's Countdown. A new episode will drop every day through January 1st. Contact or check out the podcast wherever you want. It is Megadumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your podcatcher of choice, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Ninjas and Super Spies, The Rifter, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Sambita. This theme song is New Year's Party by Topti Jin by Kim and Buran, whose work you can find on freemusicarchive.org. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.